I can't stop watching this video of Connor McDavid buying his own booze. You guys didn't watch this.
Yeah, I missed this.
It's like grabbing a bunch of cases of, I'm not going to say the brand, but I'll just say he's wrong. He's not right to do it, what he did. There's better choices. Anyway, he's like, he's whatever the LCBO is in Edmonton, the ECBO? Maybe. Sure. He's at the ECBO. And he just decides to grab a bunch of cases of beer, and he's just man on a mission trying to fire them all into the trunk of his vehicle.
I'm watching it right
as
now.
There's like 5 to 8 guys surrounding him going, McDavid, McDavid. And he's just not even engaging. But people are helping him, like holding the cases as he's putting them in the car. And then one guy at the end of the video says, can I get a hug, McDavid? Which is amazing. He's like, can I get a hug, Connor McDavid? Which is unbelievable. I love this kind of stuff. This is the kind of video that genuinely makes me like the Oilers even more. This is just as I'm starting to really get my, all right, enough of this whole Oilers run thing. I did want them in the cup. There's just no doubt about it. But now I've got to the point where I'm like, I don't know if I really want the Canadian team having it. You guys made it. That's good. I like the cup when the Canadian team's in it. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I'm kind of torn on it. I'm kind of torn. But how do you not like McDavid going, yeah, don't worry, I'll make the booze run. That's a leader.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a leader.
For sure. That's big time clutch.
He didn't send the equipment manager. Do you know how many people Connor McDavid has in his life that will just go get him some beers? I don't know if Edmonton has Uber Eats. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just saying. I don't know if they have it. I don't know if they have. They must, because Leon Draisaitl is the face of Skip.
Right.
Which would be a weird move if they didn't even have it. You know, you're watching these commercials and Leon's wearing the big old bib. And then it was just, yeah, no, actually, never mind that, though. You can't have it. I'm sure Edmonton's got it. I'm sure they got lots of nice things there. Anyway, he just decides to make the run on his own. And it's crazy because he's not, I get it. He's got to get in. He's got to get out. And he can't let it become even more of a scene. But it's just an empty parking lot. It's awesome. I really love it. That's cool community stuff. The older I get, the more nostalgic I get for community stuff. Guy making his own beer run, showing up. That's a lifetime thing for those guys. They're wearing Oilers jerseys, obviously, because everybody, that's got to be the formal attire of Edmonton right now. It's just,
yeah.
Where are your colors? You got to be like a full-fledged gang. Like, you don't wear the colors, you're out of the gang. The only way that you're not wearing the colors is if you're in a different gang. And again, I think if you were cheering for the Calgary Flames or Toronto Maple Leafs or Montreal Canadiens, you're already, Leaf fans probably do, they got to go up with Calgary fans. I feel like Montreal fans get to coexist in a different realm there that they wouldn't have to escape. They can kind of be like, oh, no, different thing. But Toronto fans got to go with the Calgary fans. People don't seem to understand this, too, which is, and I keep talking about it, but how I'm not confused at all that Edmonton hates Toronto and that they would hate it if Toronto was in the Stanley Cup final and that they would have rooted against them the entire way and that probably universally their fan base was thrilled when Toronto was eliminated. Like, I don't care. And that's the whole point of being us, is we're supposed to be kind of bigger than it. Anyways, Blue Jays last night, they had won 5 of their last 6 games, and the Orioles are in town. I'm going to go tonight. I think I'm going to go Thursday as well. I'm going to try to go to a bunch of these games. You know why? Because this kind of feels like a real tipping point in the season. I know that this is going to happen over and over again, right? The trade deadline is not until, I think, July 30th. I'm pretty sure it's July 30th. Because here's the thing. I Google it a decent amount. I'm like, when is this? How much longer can they keep doing this? But they won 5 of their last 6 games, and the Orioles can't come to town for 4-game set. And they're not even, what's crazy is the Orioles aren't even the top of the division right now.
Yeah.
They just embarrassed the Toronto Blue Jays. And you go, wow, that's clearly the best team in the division. No, they're not. They're 10 games up. I think they're 10 and a half games up now on the Toronto Blue Jays, and they're not even first in the division. And if you go below the Orioles, it starts to get a little bit more middle, But that's kind of how the Blue Jays feel right now, is just this team that doesn't want to admit that it ain't it. This team that won't bend the knee because, yeah, I get it. They're not doing horribly. Even, you know, yesterday's Sunday Night Baseball, or sorry, the night game that I flipped over to. I don't know why I said Sunday Night Baseball. Oof, that's tough. But I flip over and it's just the Astros and they have a comeback and I go, nice, way to go, Astros. Way to win basically your first game of the season. They suck. They got a worse record than the Blue Jays. And I don't know if they've given up on their season, right? The Rays are barely ahead of the Jays, right? And this is a team that we thought was going to be super competitive. There's a lot of teams in the murky middle. But when you watch the Blue Jays, it's really hard to envision a scenario where they're going to find ways to turn it around. At least last year, the pitching was so unbelievable that you thought, man, the bats could just get it together. And the bats weren't even like this. This is worse than it was last year. At least last year it was, hey, drive them in with runners in scoring position. Now it's gotten so pathetic with the offense. Jays are getting thumped by the Orioles, a team that just leapfrogged past them, skyrocketed past them in terms of where they're at in their competitive cycle. And I'm thinking, oh, it's nice that Vladdy hit a home run because he doesn't really hit those anymore. So that was cool. Good job, Vladdy. Anyway, it just feels disheartening to know that that's the way that they're kind of doing this, is going to try to tread water through June and maybe hope you get on a bit of a lucky hot streak. But yeah, this does feels like a tipping point series for them. I thought yesterday was super important because it was Gausman and he hasn't historically performed well against the Orioles, whereas Rodriguez has done very well against the Blue Jays. And they kind of got the door cracked open for them with an error that allows for Varsho to hit a triple and score. And you go, okay, maybe this is going to be a bit of commitment. And then no. Gausman gets thumped. And I'll say this, and I got Robert Murray on the line. Again, MLB insider for Fansided. And maybe I'll bring him in on this, which is, if it's me, I'm trading Gausman this year. I'm trying to get off Gausman. He's got $50 million left, which is really, on the next two seasons, by the way, which is really not bad. Like, you think about it, Blake Snell, this past offseason, he got $62 million for 2 years, right? That's like the going rate for someone who has been in the Cy Young conversation the last couple of seasons? Absolutely. But he's 33 and a half years old. There's been a velocity dip. Some of the teams that he struggles against the most are in your own division, and some of the teams that you're chasing the playoffs. I don't know if that's something that I'm betting on is going to get better from a trade value standpoint. And if they're really dead set on keeping Vladdy and Bo and extending these guys, and this is real, you got to start to look around and wonder what other pieces are going to get moved. Anyways, Robert Murray, MLB insider for Fansided. What's up, brother? How are we doing?
Yeah, I'm great, man. How are you? Sounds like a heated discussion about the Jays this morning already, huh? Well,
here's the thing. I kind of went into sucker mode just a little bit, and I'm mad at myself because they won 5-6, and I went, you know, this would be so Blue Jays to beat the Orioles in this series, and then you watch those two teams play, and just, yeah, they're different. It's very different. And even Hayes, who's the one guy that hasn't been going for Baltimore, goes up against the Jays and goes against Gausman. He's owned him, and he continues to do it. And it just, again, it does feel like two teams that are a bit worlds apart. And one of the things, too, about Kevin Gausman in the past is he is an ace, right? He has been an ace, which the definition of that is it's a stopper. It's a win. And for me, I thought Toronto needed to get off on a good foot, and they needed to get off with a Kevin Gausman win. Anyways, I went with this Gausman take. It feels a little hot takey to me, especially in a baseball season where he's got 50 innings pitched. And the general consensus around the Blue Jays is that this would be not a rebuild or a teardown, but rather a pivot. But what do you think the market would be like for a guy like Kevin Gausman, who is having a down season, who does have a little bit of term left, and has had this pedigree as recently as the last two seasons?
Yeah, I think there would definitely be a market. And I think what you ended up mentioning before I came on the show was spot on, was that, I mean, he's controllable. He's signed for two more years at about $50 million. And if you look at Blake Snell, where he signed for over $60 million for over 2 years, mm-hmm. I mean, it's better value there for sure. But if you look at Gausman's numbers this year, they're down compared to what they've been in the past. I mean, mm-hmm. his ERA is currently, if I'm not mistaken, is about 4.6.
Yeah.
And his strikeout numbers are down, and it's going to have teams probably wondering, like, what's going on there and what to necessarily make of that. If you look at his FIP, it's about 3.7, which is a lot more respectable and shows that there may be a sign of better things to come later on in the year here. So I do think there would be a market, but I think with the Blue Jays kind of signaling that it wouldn't make sense for them to trade Bo Bichette or Vlad Jr. We'll dive into that in a little bit, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. It would signal to me that they want to compete in 2025. And if they want to do that, I think they would want to keep a guy like Gausman. So that would kind of make me lean toward them trying to keep him. Mm-hmm. But at this point, I think they have to listen, because you have to know what's necessarily, or you have to know what's out there just in case you're blown away with an offer. And you know how pitching needy these contending teams are. So you can't rule anything out there, especially with his pedigree. But my guess is he'd probably end up being kept in Toronto rather than moved.
Yeah, and there's it makes a lot of sense too, especially if you are trying to compete next year, right? Because you're likely going to lose Kikuchi. You're going to probably have to trade him. Manoah, at this point of his career, even though he showed you something, it's hard to rely on him. They started the year with Bowden Francis, and there was real hope that he was going to be a guy, and he doesn't really look like a guy. Chris Bassett is another year older, and again, I'm not sure what the long-term future is there. You've got a lot of holes with your starting pitching moving forward in next season that you're going to have to fill, and I don't know if they can do that all through free agency, and certainly there's nobody really coming up within the organization that's supposed to kind of fill those spots. So I get the case for keeping him. I just think if you're looking at it now, and that being your best case scenario is, hey, here's a controllable guy with some upside and who has been great, and maybe it just hasn't been working well for him. You're buying kind of lowish, but you're still paying a premium. I don't mind that move for Toronto, especially since I'm not sure if you're just cutting through the first layer of skin, right? Like if you're doing a surgery on the Blue Jays this year and you're doing the partial teardown or the partial build, What are you doing if you're just moving off of Kikuchi and say like Garcia and Richards, right? Like, or, and I like at this point, Justin Turner has zero value. I can't imagine what anyone would give up for him. Like zero, nothing. Like we're not even taking the money. Like, what is your read on that first layer of skin, Blue Jays, in terms of what it would net you back in a trade package, how much you could actually use those pieces to pivot for 2025?
Yeah, and we saw in the offseason, they didn't go all in on the strategy. They tried for a Shohei Ohtani type. There was obviously rumors about Juan Soto. They didn't get him, and they kind of just pieced things together here and there. They got Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. They got a bunch of other different pieces, but it was never truly like an all-in direction, and especially trying for a star, and they did not get a star. Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of a failed offseason overall, and it's poured into this season. If they wanted to trade a guy like Kevin Gausman, I do think they'd get a pretty decent haul in return, especially with his pedigree. He's only 33, he's controllable. And with how pitching needy these contending teams are, I think they'd be able to build a market and they'd end up getting decent value in return. But Kikuchi's going to end up being one of the better starters, most likely on the move at the deadline. As you said, there's not going to be much of a market for a guy like Justin Turner, although I do think contending teams could value his veteran leadership.
Sure.
And if they're able to get the Jays to eat a little bit of money in the deal, I think that would end up, that could improve the haul. It still wouldn't be that much overall. But if I was the Jays, and I would trade as many of the guys on expiring contracts as I possibly can, and I would enter the offseason with a different strategy and trying to free up as much money as possible by moving or trying to move a guy like George Springer. I know that's way easier said than done, especially with his performance and his contract. But if you're able to attach at least a prospect to his contract to try to entice the team to move on, I think that's something you actually have to explore. And if they're able to do that successfully, that would free up a lot of room on their payroll. It could allow them to do some different things in addressing different areas of the roster. They cannot repeat the same mistakes that they made this past offseason, because even coming into the season, you could just tell this team lacked an identity. It was not better than it was last year, and the offense is suffering. The pitching has struggled. It's a struggle overall, and they cannot repeat the same mistakes of last year. Or of this year, I should say, because it's looked like a huge failure so far. And it's resulted in a lot of these questions, both tough and easy, being asked right now.
Well, and the fan base is especially pissed off, because last season, even the front office admitted it was a slog. And the fan base went, yeah, we know. We need changes. And their move was no changes. Their move was, we're bringing in Isaiah Kiner-Falefa and Justin Turner. And so, it's been a while since people here, I think, were this upset about what the product is, especially given what they thought was going to be a very, very successful cycle and has materialized into no playoffs. And now this year, it would be kind of a stretch to make the playoffs. Our Jeff Blair has insinuated that they've kind of looked at moving George Springer before. But when you're saying, you know, get off the money, how much do you think the Jays would have to eat in that kind of move, though? Because he's still got a couple of years left on his contract, and it's $25 million a season.
Yeah, I think they wouldn't have to eat the entire contract, but I think they would end up having to eat a fair amount. I mean, this is, I don't even know if I can speculate a number here, because I've heard the same thing as Jeff, but I haven't heard a specific dollar amount that they would have to eat or anything.
But there would be some interest around baseball. Teams would want him.
At this stage of his career, he's 34. Mm-hmm. He's hitting, 211 this year? 4 home runs, 12 RBI. I'm thinking it could end up being tough to go to market for a guy like that. Yeah. Obviously, the defense, he's known for it, so there could be some value there. But if you're able to, attach at least a top prospect or two, I think maybe that could end up enticing a team. But it would have to be, the quality of prospects. If you look at his numbers this year compared to what they were previously, it's trending in the wrong direction.
Yes.
I think that's pretty safe to say.
Yeah. This is why I get into stuff maybe you have to trade Gausman, is because if you're telling me to get off the Springer money, you got to send out a prospect. I don't know if you've looked at what the Jays farm system rankings have been recently, but pretty much universally they're known as they don't have anybody. That's their main thing. And I can't talk. I've talked to multiple prospect people. I've tried to get as positive about it as possible. And I can't get someone to come on here and be like, nah, there's actually a better depth. That's the most rosy outlook of it that I've gotten is essentially they've got a good chunk of low ceiling guys with some quality floors, but that's not what this team needs. This team needs some splashy injections, and they need guys that do offer the selling of hope and the offer of selling a ceiling. And so if you're going to try to move off of Springer's money and repurpose that this offseason, it's going to cost you a prospect. I don't know where that leaves you for being able to make other moves. This year, when I talked to you, it was difficult for the Jays to be making some of these trades. We were looking at it and going, hey, could they get in on this? Could they get in on that? And it was very limited when it came to what their actual latitude was. The Soto stuff was hilarious because you had people here writing these fake trades up. He was going to go for cents on the dollar or prospects that were, C and B minus prospects in the Jays farm system. And you saw the package that he ends up going for. And you're like, yeah, they weren't close to that. And so to me, that's why I kind of get to the stuff about, well, what does it look like if they're just trading Kikuchi? What are you getting back for Kikuchi? And is this the front office to do it? Because last time they had a pending UFA pitcher and they were selling, it was Jay Happ. And granted, he had, I think his two worst starts right before the trade deadline. But they traded Jay Happ, who I think was the number one pitcher on the market in 2017 or 2018, for Drury and Billy McKinney. So yeah, it's hard to feel like you move a guy like that, a pending UFA pitcher, even if he's at the top of the pile, and you're going to get back something that is really going to change the outlook of your offseason.
Yeah, 100%. And I want to start off with the Springer thing here. I haven't heard necessarily that they're trying to trade. I want to make that clear. Sure. That was my own speculation. But I understand the skepticism at this point. And it's led to questions, at least among the fan base, and I'm sure it's going to be coming in the media at some point here if it hasn't already. Do the Blue Jays in the offseason think about making changes at the leadership level? It's the mistakes that they ended up making in the offseason, everyone saw it coming, that they did not do enough, that the direction, it didn't seem very clear. And they're paying the price for it now. And it's just, if I was a Blue Jays fan, I'd be irate. And obviously, you don't know what you're going to end up getting for Kikuchi. He's a rental. He's been very good this year. He's been the Blue Jays' best pitcher. But realistically, what can you expect for a guy like that in return? Mm-hmm. You have to ask, I'm curious where you stand on this. If you were running the Blue Jays, obviously, we saw what Ross Atkins said the other day, but would you trade Bo Bichette or Vlad Jr.? Because I know that's a very interesting discussion, but I'm curious what you think.
Yeah, here's the thing, man. I don't really see an option outside of it. Like, it's hard for me to understand how the pivot works with both of those guys. Like, okay, so if you're not going to trade Gausman because you need innings next year, fine, okay? So yeah. You're likely going to keep him, Berríos, and Bassett. But Bassett, at this point, you're really hoping that he's a quality 4-5, all right? You don't have any pitching. You don't have any prospects. You are still going to be spending a ton of money. And also, you're going to be spending more money because if you're keeping both of those guys, you got to extend both of those guys. So how are you building the team around them? Like, that's the thing that I still don't understand is where are you getting the prospect capital from? Where are you getting the financial wiggle room from? Because, like I said, I don't think that it's very palatable moving off the Springer money. And then what? Like, you're going to sign another free agent? Who is that big free agent bat? They haven't really shown a great level of creativity when it comes to finding ways to produce runs for this team. Like, they've done okay with these fringy signings, like the Brandon Belts of the world and Sukai. And IKF has, I think, been a little bit better than people anticipated. But ultimately, this is kind of what I'm driving at with you is where the cut happens that goes beyond those pending UFAs. Because the rental guys on the market, I just don't think are going to fetch you enough for there to be a real feeling of optimism that you can go into the offseason with real flexibility and upside to materially impact and change this roster for the better.
Yeah, and it's totally valid. And like, and that's one of the reasons why I ended up mentioning before the discussion about the leadership or the potential leadership changes that this, I think the ownership has to evaluate in the offseason, is because you look at the on-field product at the major league level, it does not inspire much confidence. You have below average offense and pitching at this point statistically. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the minor league system and it's incredibly underwhelming. As you said, it makes the idea of trying to move off of a guy like George Springer and like potentially attaching a prospect or two, it makes that really difficult. It shows no real signs of hope, but for now and in the future. I'm not trying to sound grim when I say that. I realize how grim that kind of sounds. But if you're trying to improve this team going forward, I think the idea of trading Gausman does make sense, because if you end up trading him now, and what is he making, about 20, 25 million a year, mm-hmm. somewhere in that ballpark?
Yeah, 25.
You can trade that. You can move him. You'd be able to get a, especially since he's controllable and he's got that kind of success in the past, I think you can end up getting a fairly decent haul in return. We mentioned his numbers before this year, but I still think you'd be able to get something pretty solid in return. And then you could save 20 to 25 million, and then you can try to reinvest that in the roster for next year while also improving your minor league farm system. I think there's absolutely logic behind it. I think it would make sense. It would be a tough decision for now because it would signal to that clubhouse, yeah, okay, this season's probably not going to result in a postseason appearance. And I mean, that would be the reality. But at that point, you would still have Vlad Jr. You'd have Bo Bichette for next year. You could reinvest the money saved from trading Gausman. Hopefully, and I mean hopefully, they reinvest more than just the money saved from Gausman into that roster, because I mean, I think it's clear to everybody just how much help this roster needs. It would give them flexibility. It would give them different ways to improve that roster. I think they should absolutely try to do it, or at least consider it. They can't just move Gausman just to move him. And
no, yeah, that's not the point.
Another dollar.
Yeah.
No, for sure. No,
the point
sure,
I'm making is if there's real value in the idea that you get him for three runs and that he's cost controllable, and even if you get him, that there's not a ton of financial risk. Because, like, again, $25 million a season for him, even if he's been what he's been this year, you're not upset with that. The idea here is that purely, if you're not going to trade Vladdy or Bo, and you've only got the pending UFAs that you're going to move, I think that there has to be one other roster piece that gets sold at the deadline that really does make you feel like there's going to be a significant change going into the offseason, being with a little bit more financial flexibility, plus the added prospects that you inject into your farm system from the UFAs, plus a major piece like Gausman. Okay, but you mentioned like the offseason when it comes to this front office. What do you think if they do become sellers, It's hard to understand why Ross Atkins would be the one that's getting to sell, given the amount of time that it's been and that this is his baby. Like, this roster is his baby. Do you think that even if he isn't fired, he's going to be the guy that ultimately is making these moves?
That, wait, are you talking at, in the
this year? No, this year. Like, I'm talking this trade deadline. Who do you think will be calling the shots for the Blue Jays if they do, in fact, have to sell?
I think it would still be Ross Atkins. That would be the impression that I'm under. I know that's probably not the answer you wanted to hear, and that oof kind of confirmed that belief. But I think that's probably the direction that this would go. That's my guess. But if it comes to that, like, obviously, as you said before, they haven't sold a major piece, at least pitching wise, since what, 2017 with Hap. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's been a while. We'll see if it trends that direction, we'll see exactly how it goes. But that's my belief. And I'll tell you, if he ends up running the show in the offseason too, I think the making a play again for Bellinger has to be something that's seriously talked about, because they need a star in the offseason. They just need a star in that lineup, because they just lack pop. They lack something there.
So, again, this is me just reading the tea leaves of some of what you're saying and also what is out there now. If the insinuation is that they're trying to get extensions done for Vladdy and Bo, and I believe him when he says that, because he was on, you know, I think it was MLB radio this week saying that with our friend Jim Bowden. And if it's him running the helm, I don't think that they would be letting a guy who is, I would say at this point, likely to be fired in the offseason make such a major move, like make a trade Vladimir Guerrero or trade a Bo Bichette move. But that being said, do you think there's at least potential for it? Like, is part of the reason why maybe we're starting to hear about this attempt at extensions now, that if it really feels as though it's not going to happen, that they will at least look seriously and hard at what a trade package looks like this season?
I think I would be pretty surprised if they seriously explored a trade package for either of those guys, mm-hmm. just because they want to compete in 2025. That's the impression that I'm under, and that having either of those guys gives you the best shot at doing so. If you look at Bo Bichette's case specifically, I think it would be really tough to trade him because he struggled this year. There's no way of sugarcoating it. It's been a down season for him. And if you trade him now, it would be for pennies on the dollar. And I can't imagine that would be something that the Blue Jays are in a hurry to do. And as far as an extension for him, like, not, if there was ever a time to do it, considering his track record, like, you have to expect that he'd bounce back. And with how he's performed this year, you'd be able to get value for him. But Bichette and his agent has to realize that as well. And I guarantee they do, which would probably have them a little bit hesitant to do an extension now, because if they waited, they could end up getting much more money in a couple of years or after the 2025 season when he becomes a free agent. So it's my guess is a deal probably does not get done there as far as an extension. I think the Blue Jays would be very wise to listen for offers for either player, because it never hurts to know what's out there. They're both immensely talented. Vlad Jr., I know his power numbers haven't been there this year, but he's still been a very effective player. And if you're able to get something or able to get an offer that is really intriguing, I think you absolutely have to listen and maybe even entertain it. But at the end of the day, I don't expect them to get traded. I think an extension for either player is probably unlikely. And they enter next year, or at least enter the offseason, with no new deals in place, and also both in Toronto. That's my guess.
Yeah, it is funny looking at this, being like, all right, so they're most likely just to trade the pending UFAs and hope that they get lucky on a prospect in that regard. Because again, those aren't going to be A+ guys. Those are going to be lottery tickets, guys who they're going to have to decide are a little bit further away or probably closer, but similar to some of what they already have in the lower ceiling guys. And then, you enter with both of your star players without contract extensions. And
it's a tough spot.
Yeah, it's not, like, there's not a lot of good coming from here, Rob. Like,
one thing I pride myself on is bringing the good, and I'm not bringing the good. My apologies.
Okay, how about this one, though? If they did get extended, because you're right, they're in a tricky spot right now where Bo is having a dip in production, and he's going, no, you got to pay me for who I am at the end of every year, which is fair because even the year that he had where he started worse than this one, he ended up with an OPS over 800 and he has the end of the season, which was incredible. That drives him into that spot. I would say that there's, from what I've heard from some people, there's real question marks about what he looks like as a shortstop getting older, which maybe makes this thing a little trickier. There's also murmurs that winning is super important to him. And granted, you hear that from every baseball player, but ultimately it does come down to the dollars and cents. But what do you think an extension looks like for these guys? Because that's something that always has felt very hard to nail down because neither of them has become quite their peers that have hit those $300 million numbers. Like, you know, you can talk about Vlad Jr. being a productive player. He ain't Juan Soto, right? He hasn't been that. And there was a time where we thought all those guys were going to be kind of lumped together. If you were trying to predict an extension that was going to get done within the next year for either player, what do you think the dollars in term would look like?
I'll tell you right now with Bichette, I think that's about as difficult of a projection as you can possibly imagine. I mean, entering the season, I mean, if you could have probably thought maybe at least 150, maybe 125, 150, somewhere in that ballpark. With Vlad Jr., I wouldn't give him 300. Not at this point quite yet, but I think, what would you say, 250 over... Trying to think.
You don't want to know my
years?
Numbers. My numbers aren't good on either of these guys. My numbers are one of the prospects.
Did you hear him?
Yeah. No. That's it. Like that's my numbers are that there are really no numbers. That it's just I'm chopping.
Yeah. Because I'll tell you with Bichette, I mean, it's such a difficult projection. It's his production this year has been. It's raised a lot of different questions, and I'm really glad right now that I'm not. I'm not his agent because that'd be a very difficult projection if I'm having those contract talks. But I for Vlad Jr., I don't know necessarily if I don't think I would touch. I don't think I'd go to 300, at least not at this point quite yet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's very tough. I don't expect an extension to get done for either player. I think their value is going to be dictated on the open market, at least as of this point. Things can change, but that's my guess is that. We don't end up seeing them. Extensions done for either player.
Yeah. Again, I know we're saying that this is unlikely, but that's why, again, the case gets a little bit stronger for trading one of them. If you don't feel as though you want to give either guy a big ticket deal, it feels like you're probably better off trying to move sooner rather than later on that, rather than being handcuffed this offseason and going, now, like, let's say you got to hire a new GM. And then, like, we just saw this with our hockey team, which is you hire the new general manager. There's a lot of work to be done with understanding the roster and just to step into that role right away and go, hey, welcome to the job. Trade Vladimir Guerrero Jr. or Bo Bichette or give them extensions that aren't going to cripple our financial flexibility to build a competitor over the next 5 years. It's just, like, what kind of world are you asking that person to enter? It doesn't seem like a good one. Okay.
And also I want to make a point on that. That same thing happened to Chaim Bloom when he entered Boston. Is like he was basically given he was basically told to trade Mookie Betts, and I mean that was an impossible spot, and that defined his tenure.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, if you look, because I threw out the $250 million number for Vlad Jr. That was just a number off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. But we're also looking. We live in the same world where. Xander Bogaerts got 11 years for $280 million. I know that was a massive overpay by the Padres, but I mean, it's tough. I mean, the trying to figure out the value for either player is very tough, and I feel bad for if Ross Atkins is let go after the season, which I don't know. I don't know if that's something they're even considering, but if they have a new GM in place and they're asked to either trade or try to extend. Vlad Jr. and or Bo Bichette, that is a very difficult situation to enter. Very difficult.
I didn't think Xander Bogaerts was going to get that crazy of money, although I didn't think it would be that far off. And just as a reminder for the people who listen to the show, who are like, yeah, JD, you got some good ideas. I was a big Jay should sign Xander Bogaerts guy. So it's just, I got a lot of dumb ideas. Oh. Like, I'm not saying these are good ideas. They're just the things that I'm thinking about. Okay, so to me, when you're looking at the schedule for the Jays, I mentioned right before you came on, it does feel like they're trying to tread water, and hopefully they get hot and maybe they do a soft buy instead of a soft sell, or that they can at least try and push for a wild card playoff spot, because that would still likely, I think, be the ideal scenario for everybody involved, right? Especially if you're like the dudes with their jobs on the line. But when do you think they're going to have to truly pick this direction? Because that's it feels like everyone's going, oh, keep an eye on them, keep an eye on them. But no one's really saying, hey, these dudes are for sure available. It kind of looks like what? Like the end of June? If they get through the stretch with now Orioles, couple series, a Yankee series in there, a couple with the Red Sox, one with Cleveland. It's a pretty tough go. They've got a series with Oakland here. But yeah, is your idea that they make this decision fully by the end of June? Like, what? I can't imagine that they push it all the way up to the deadline, right? And then all of a sudden they have to sell up against that?
Yeah, my guess is it would probably be middle of July is my guess, somewhere in that ballpark. Because, I mean, as we talked about earlier, like, they don't have that many, like, really strong trade pieces. I mean, like, at least as far as rentals go. So I can't imagine there's going to be many, if any, teams that are going to be in a hurry to try to jump the market for a Turner or a Kiermaier or a Yimi Garcia or Kikuchi. Or I mean, maybe some team ends up doing it for Kikuchi. But I just don't think they have enough trade pieces where these teams are going to end up trying to jump the market and force the Jays to make a decision early. So my guess is it comes to middle July, and then those conversations become more serious as July goes on. So I wouldn't anticipate anything too crazy, at least in the near term here. But once mid-July and really the All-Star break gets here, I think that's when we're going to see the trade buzz involving the Jays and these 29 other teams really start to ramp up. And there's a lot of questions with this deadline. There is a ton of them. So, I mean, there's a lot more questions than answers at this point, but I think those answers are going to become more and more clear as July gets closer and also just gets deeper into July and past the All-Star break.
Well, that's the other part too. And I know we can't predict this as of today, because we're talking about a month from now, essentially a little bit over a month from now. But if you look at the American League, there's a case for a lot of teams to be buyers or at least to stand pat. The National League's a little different. I think that there's at least a little bit more depth of teams that would sell, but I'm not sure who has a ton of assets that are going to be attractive to teams around baseball. Like, maybe the Rockies have a couple pieces, maybe the Mets have a couple pieces. But yeah, I would imagine that, you know, Diamondbacks up in the National League, that none of those teams are really trying to sell. And if they are, it's not going to be consequential pieces. Is this at least shaping up today as a seller's market for the Blue Jays? Like, if you're a fan, are you kind of rooting that it does go that direction? Because at least if you do sell those pending UFAs and guys that normally don't net you just a massive haul, that it could be a bit of an uptick given the amount of teams that are actually in the mix for a playoff spot now. Like, that's the impact of the extra wild card.
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to think, because if you look at it, I mean, as you said, the extra wild card spot makes teams, it gives teams an added incentive to try to compete. And yeah, we saw the impact it had last year, and it could have the same impact this year. I mean, we saw even Dana Brown say yesterday that he didn't see any scenario in which the Astros sell, which would eliminate Justin Verlander and any of their potential starters from the trade market. And then, I mean, obviously, like, we've the White Sox have some trade pieces. I think Eric Fetty's going to be a really intriguing one. Mike Clevinger, I mean, he's a trade option. He's currently hurt right now, but I'm guessing the White Sox ended up signing him in the offseason or signing him during the season, with the thought of trading him at the deadline to try to get at least something back in return. But there's going to be, I think, at least as of this point, there's a limited amount of sellers. Mm-hmm. So it could end up absolutely having an impact on a guy like Kikuchi, or as we talked about before, if they ended up trying to trade a Gausman or entertaining that idea, there would not be as many options in the market, which would also allow them to maybe get more in return than originally thought. So, I mean, that's something you absolutely have to entertain as well. But a lot can change in the next 2 months here. But as of right now, it looks like it would be more of a seller's market than anything, which could end up playing into the Blue Jays' favor here if they do indeed sell.
Hey, buddy, I'm going to have you on, or hopefully I'll have you back on in about a month. And I would like it if it's a little bit, you know, rosier, okay?
Like, that sounds good. Yeah. Usually, yeah. Like, people talk about me, and they talk about me being a golden retriever. I felt not like the exact opposite of a golden retriever on this. So my apologies to you and the Blue Jays fans for the kind of grim outlook.
All right, yeah. Little better, more golden retriever next time in about a month. Robert, thanks for making time, brother. I really do appreciate it.
No, for sure, man. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you here soon.
Yeah, take care, man. Robert Murray, MLB insider for Fansided. Again, I want to make this very clear because no one, I shouldn't say no one. That's a stupid thing to say. A lot of people get confused when I tweet something like, yeah, I think that if the Jays can get something for Gossman, you do it. And you go, this is Cy Young. I think that the likely thing, and most people speak about it this way, is that Gossman doesn't get shopped and he doesn't get dealt. But all I'm saying to Blue Jays fans that want changes, or even actually the people who say try to compete in 2025, because the people who want changes are way more like me, where if there's a major move that they're going to have an appetite for it. I really don't have an appetite for Ross Atkins to be the guy that does it. I don't think that the record for him in trades is phenomenal. And again, certainly the two examples we have when they were sellers, I know they turned Simeon Wood Richardson into a piece in the Barrios trade, and he actually has been all right. But for Stroman, who still is one of the best 25 pitchers in baseball, they got Anthony Kay and Simeon Woods Richardson. And for Jay Happ, who was a pending UFA that I would say is a little closer to Kikuchi in the sense of not someone that anyone's really believing is going to be a one or a two in a postseason series, is going to be a bit of hopefully good pitching depth. I think Kikuchi obviously has way nastier stuff than Happ did, and there's higher upside there. But that their track record there is getting Brandon Drury and Billy McKinney. So, not phenomenal. I don't think anything of real value is coming back for Turner. I think Jimmy Garcia is an interesting one. But again, you're talking about a couple of pieces that are bringing you back some okay prospects. Okay, so what is this Blue Jays team next year? You go into the offseason. You've got two pending free agents that are both your franchise players. You've got to potentially move off the Springer money to give you some flexibility, but that's going to cost you prospect capital potentially, and like seems to be what Robert's saying. And we're not even sure about how much money another team is going to be willing to take for Springer's contract. And then you've got Gossman, who would be coming off of a down season, hard to envision him being on an upward trajectory at this point. Again, he's 33 and a half years old. You'd have Bassett, who is closing in on 40. The Manoah wild card that would continue to exist. You'd feel good about Barrios. And Davis Schneider is a good hit. You're feeling solid about that. What, now you got to re-sign Danny Jansen? I like Danny Jansen. He's hot right now, and he's a good Blue Jay, but we've said it. You're going to miss 25-plus games. You're going to miss a month of Danny Jansen basically every single year. You can put that down in pen, and I don't know if that's going to get better as he gets older. Like, where are the real changes going to come for the roster? If you're giving those two guys big extensions, or one of those guys big extensions, that's coming out of your free agent pile money. Okay? So are you making a trade? Well, you can't make another Varsho-type deal without Moreno-type prospects, which they don't have. So what is the move? Because yeah, seeing Ross Atkins be held accountable by losing his job, I think would hold like a lot of people happy, right? They would just go, yeah, we hate that guy. But doesn't do anything for you, especially if they're not bringing on fresh eyes. Like, it's going to feel exactly like the Dubas firing, which people got like, yes, Dubas is gone and Tree Living's here. And now an offseason later, they're going, wait, hold on a second. Why does it feel so exactly the same? That feels bad. So that's the other looming situation. And so that's it. All I have to say is to the people who don't want to move one of the major pieces, who are looking at the pivot, what is the pivot that you really think is going to take this team that you're seeing today and flip them into all of a sudden an actual contender? Because that's what people want. They don't care about making the playoffs anymore. And frankly, making the playoffs now, as good as a record is, and I've seen some baseball people trouble out, like one guy saw it, like, you can't say it's a failure when you win this. I don't know. Kind of feels like you can say it's a failure when you thought it was going to be a World Series contender and one of the best teams in baseball, and they win no playoff games, but sure, you do you. How are you going to turn this group into a contender without cutting a little deeper, cutting into the fat, cutting into the muscle? Anyway, quick break, and let me talk about a toe-to-toe with the Marner rumors.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Okay, only a couple minutes here. I got Colby tomorrow, so maybe I'll jump into this a little bit more with him, even though I did want to preview Stanley Cup Finals with the Arm Dog. But yeah, this reports were circulating yesterday on Mitch Marner. Elliot Friedman had it on 32 Thoughts, discussing that, hey, don't be surprised if Mitch Marner plays into next season. He also mentioned that, yeah, Toronto wants a good trade, and that there's a quote, more importantly, the people around the player want to see him play it out. And then, yeah, there was another report from Pierre LeBrun where he mentioned that the plan from Marner's camp is that he honors the final year of his contract. So I mentioned this last week that this was the buzz, that it was coming out early and it was coming out. I said it when the Berube picture came out. It was, hey, this guy's camp doesn't want him to move it. And frankly, I don't know what Marner's actual sentiment is around it. He's going to be the one that has to eat the displeasure of the fan base. But yeah, the people around him are not stoked on the idea of him getting traded. And that has been like a day one thing. So maybe things change, but that has been the initial position, which kind of makes sense because what, you're going to just open it up and be like, we're open to anything. We want to get out of here. Like, no, you can't really do that. You want to at least show that you're committed to staying here, that you want to be here. And there's a lot of reasons to want to be here. Like, he's from here. They can end up giving him the biggest extension. They have a history of paying guys a lot of money. He's gotten his way in a lot of different ways. But what I think is the real crazy talk around this is the amount of people that are just kind of throwing their hands up and going, okay, enter the season without a contract and let's see how it plays out. Hey, Marner's going to be in a contract year, so he's going to have to prove it in order to get that deal. Have you guys been paying attention? Like, what? We just went through this with William Nylander. He comes into the season, and also, like, the thing, actually, to go even further back than William Nylander, anybody that criticizes Dubas and they go, he screwed up the contracts, you're like, uh-huh. And why did he screw them up? Hey, guys, why did they screw him up? It's because he waited. It's because he gave them time, and then they went into the season with good regular season track records, and guess what they did? They got a lot of points in the regular season. That's what they do. That's what they do. That's their number one thing. There's nobody can question all the stuff about the heart, the playoffs, the ability to do it when the chips are down. Those are valid, but the regular season, these guys own that. That is their baby. And you let Mitch Marner go into the regular season without a contract extension, you think the number's coming down? Huh? You think that this is going to be like a gamble that somehow works for the Maple Leafs in any way? Like, nah. There's no way that works out for the Leafs. And then people going, well, then you let him walk for the cap space. It's like, people are mad that Zach Hyman walked for the cap space. You don't think people are going to be pissed when they see Mitch Marner have 120-point season somewhere? Like, what are we doing here? This fan base is so broken, man. Yeah, of course you want to win the trade. Of course you want to do a good trade. Of course there are dangerous things that come with trading a really, really good player. But I thought the one thing that we could finally get on the same page on was that you probably needed to change something, man. At some point, you got to take a shot. God. Anyway, see you tomorrow.